Psalms chapter number 78. I'm not usually nervous, but I don't know what it is. We've got a lot going on and trying to remember everything and everybody, and I'm bad to forget things. I've tried to write down and do the best I can, so I hope I don't leave anything or anyone out today, but we're going to read a few verses in Psalms chapter number 78. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter number 78, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. And we'll bring the message today the Lord's laid on our heart. Psalm 78 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful to be here one more time, and we pray and ask that You would speak to us today from Your Word. I'm thankful for the choir singing this morning and how we enjoyed that, the Sunday school lesson, the special music. Lord, we just are looking forward to today, and I pray that as we take this time to look into Thy Word, that God, we would be able to receive from it what You'd have us to. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. I pray for liberty, and I pray, Lord, that You would just touch and move in our midst as only You can. Lord, we need Your power. We need Your presence, and we look and seek for that today. Lord, just have Your way, and we'll thank You for all that You do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and just to begin this morning, read one more time. Verse number 2, the Bible said, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." And usually when we think about homecoming, and, you know, I prayed and thought about several things I could have tried to preach on this morning. We've got homecoming. We've got baptism going on. And so I had been praying about that, but I thought about this. Usually homecoming is somehow gets associated with heaven, going to heaven, but that's a home going. And what we're talking about today is a homecoming. Homecoming, if you think about it, is simply this. It means coming home. Coming home. And we have some that have come back home, maybe to their home church, the home that they grew up in as a church family. We have some that have come home again for that today. And so when I think of homecoming, I think of years gone by. I think of precious memories. You know, sometimes we sing that song. I think about growing up. I think about the way things used to be. That's what I think of when I think about homecoming. And Psalms chapter number 78, if you're familiar with it today, it's that kind of chapter. It is one long reminder of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God to His children. And there are, if you look at it, there's 72 verses in Psalms chapter number 78. Now don't get nervous. I'm not going to preach on all of them. But that's what it is. The whole chapter is just reminding the children of Israel of how faithful God has been down through the years, how good God has been to them, even though there was many times that they turned their back on Him. But they needed, in Psalms chapter number 78, they needed a homecoming in the nation of Israel. They needed a time of turning back or going back to God. They had strayed many, many times from the Lord. They had wandered far from home. And the psalmist says to them, beginning in chapter 78 and verse number 1, he says, "Give ear." And when he says, "Give ear," what he's saying there, he's saying, "Listen up. Listen to what I've got to say. Give ear. We're going to take a trip down memory lane." Verse number 2, the Bible said, "I will open my mouth in parable. In a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old." He said, we're going to listen to some things that Dad had to say. We're going to be reminded from our
fathers in this chapter. Verse number 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen up. We're going to go down memory lane. We're going to listen to some things Dad had to say once upon a time. And then in verse number 4, and this is important as well, he said, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. He said, we're going to listen up this in this chapter, and we're going to go down memory lane, and we're going to hear some things Dad had to say, and we're going to show those things to our children. We're going to remind our children. We want our children, these things not to be hid from them. Now, the reason that Psalms chapter number 78 was written, one of the reasons was because they had forgotten what God had done for them in the past. They had not remembered the blessings and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. If you look over in verse number 42, look what the Bible says over there. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. And so, as good as God had been to them, they had forgotten. And they needed to be reminded. And so I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of homecoming. We need to remember some things. If we're going to get back where we need to be with the Lord, if we're going to have a spiritual homecoming in our own heart, our own life, and our own church. And so Psalm 78 is reminding us of some things. First of all, let me point out that Psalms chapter number 78 reminds us of simpler times. Look down in verse number 11. We'll read a few verses. I'm going to skip around in this chapter a little bit this morning, but it reminds us of simpler times. Times when things were more simple. Verse number 11 said about the children of Israel that and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. Now by the time we come to Psalms chapter number 78 or the book of Psalms in the Bible, the nation of Israel is one of the most powerful nations upon the face of the earth. They have all these things going for them. They have riches. They have influence among the nations of the world. They have farms and they have homes and they have land and they have crops to raise and homes to live in. And they have an army. They have a king. They have one of the most glorious temples where they would go to worship God as any nation on the face of the earth would have. Getting ready David to build Solomon's temple and all of these things. And so they have riches, they have power, they have influence and possession, sort of like that we are in America today. We're a very blessed, prosperous nation compared to the nations of the world. But in Psalms chapter number 78, the psalmist goes back to a time when the children of Israel basically had nothing. They had nothing but the clothes on their back, and God had just delivered them out of Egypt, and they were literally just a troop, a group of people wandering in the wilderness, going through the wilderness, and they only had at that time what they could carry. That's what the psalmist is reminded them of. In verse number 14, in the daytime also He led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. Basically what they were doing, they were extended camping. Now I don't know about you, I like to camp, but I like the real easy kind. You know, where you go and you stay at the motel and they make your breakfast for you. That's the kind that I like. But even every once in a while, it's all right to go to the campground and go out, you know, and rough it a few days. That's nice. That's a nice getaway. But how would you like to camp for 40 years? That'd get old, wouldn't it? I mean, you can only take so much, carry so much, make so many fires, all of those things. But that is how the children of Israel were when they were delivered out of the land of Egypt. They didn't have much but the clothes upon their back, but they had God. And God led them by a cloud in the daytime. That cloud in the daytime was a shelter unto them, a shield unto them. They were out in the hot sun. They were out in the desert. They were out where they didn't have air conditioning like it's so nice that we have today. But God in the daytime put a cloud over them. And God in the nighttime led them by a fire. They had a nightlight. They didn't have much. It was much simpler times that the psalmist starts out with, but they had the Lord. They had the continual presence of God in their midst during the day and during the night. Always the presence of God was there. So they didn't have much, but they had the Lord. And I'm telling you this morning, that's enough. To not have much, but to have the Lord. Life was much simpler then. Verse number 28, I was talking about camping. That is how their existence is summed up in verse 28. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. It goes on and talks about how that they dwelt in tents. They were camping out, living in tents. But they had the Lord. You know, we've got a lot of blessings, and I'm thankful for each and every one of them, but I think sometimes we're missing out on life because we are living life so hurriedly, and there's so much going on, and there is it seems like in this day and time, and I don't want my children to grow up not thinking that, I don't want them to grow up and that them to be at the end of their rope before they get grown. And what I'm saying this morning, it seems like that I can remember a time in life when life was much simpler than it is, and days were slower and the pace was slower and everybody was not going 100 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, that's how we live our lives. Go, 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 run, run, run. Gotta be here, gotta be there. When we think about homecoming, I think most of us that are of any age at all can look back and say, you know, I remember when life was simpler. And there's a reason why people talk about life and they talk about the good old days. I know we have a lot of things and we have a lot of blessings and we have a lot of places to go and people to see. And I've talked with a couple of different people this week about just how stressed and busy life seems to be. And it seems like everybody will acknowledge that, but nobody knows what the answer is. Except we've just forgot how to say no. And the only reason we can run up down the road like we do and be involved in as many things as we are is because God has blessed us so much. And you've got the means to go and to do. And we run ourselves and run ourselves. And I think sometimes we think we're accomplishing something, but the children of Israel were the same way. They started out with nothing. Life was very simple. And God blessed them and added more and more and more. But they were not necessarily better off. I notice this, if you look in verse number 33, look what the Bible says. And it says in verse number 33, and you got to realize in Psalm 78, they're close to God and then they're away from God. And they're close to God and then they're away from God. But it said in verse number 33, one of the results of going away from God, it said, therefore, their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. I wonder if that does not describe us sometimes. Their days were consumed in vanity. Vanity means emptiness. Vanity means that, you know, their days were full, but they were just empty. We run and run and do, and sometimes get very little accomplished to show for all the running and all the doing. And then he said that their days, look what it said in verse 33, and their years in trouble. One thing after another thing after another thing. And sometimes you look at life and you think about life and it seems to be getting gone so quick. It's getting gone. I don't want to get to the end and look back and just say, boy, that was just vanity and trouble. We miss that simplicity of life sometimes. And just sitting down and like the Bible says in the book of Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Yeah, they didn't have very much, but they had the Lord. I'd rather not have very much and have the Lord than I would to have everything under the sun and not have the presence and power of the Lord. And our days be full of vanity and our years be consumed in trouble. Homecoming ought to cause us to come. And whether you're from Mount Lebanon or from somewhere else, we come today. I want us to think today about simpler times. That maybe in our life there was a simpler time where we were closer to God than we are right now. Why are we not closer? Things consume our time and trouble our life. Simpler times. We ought to be reminded of simpler times. Number two this morning, Psalms chapter number 78 reminds us of supplied times. Now, look in verse number 15 down through verse number 19. And really, all of chapter 78 is a reminder of how God had supplied for them over and over and over again. Verse number 15, the Bible said about the children of Israel. Now remember, they'd just been delivered out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. There are 1 million+ people marching through the desert, and they need food and they need water. And verse 15 said, He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. When they need water, God gave them water. Verse 16, He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. Verse 17, And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in a wilderness? Do you remember the children of Israel and how they got out there and they said, Boy, we're going to starve out here. We don't have anything to drink. We don't have anything to eat. Should we turn back to wilderness? At least we had leeks and melons and onions and garlic and all that stuff. And we got out here and they began to complain. God, we don't have nothing to eat. God, we don't have nothing to drink. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God feed all of us way out here in the wilderness? I mean, I heard a preacher one time, he said that McDonald's, the Golden Arches, was God's promise that God's people would never starve to death. You ever been out traveling and, man, it's late and nothing's open and you see the Golden Arches and you say, at least I can get a fried apple pie. Something. They didn't even have a McDonald's. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have a grocery store, nothing. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And the answer to that is yes, He can. And they cried out to the Lord and they sinned in doing that. But look at verse 24. The Bible said, here's what God did. And God, it said, and rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. God rained down manna from heaven. God gave them meat to the full. They didn't go hungry all those years. Now, here's how manna worked. Manna came early in the morning with the dew. And the children of Israel would go out there and manna. You say, what was it? The Bible said it was angels' food. Angels evidently eat food. And God gave them manna. And every morning the manna would come and they would go out there and they would gather it up and gather it up. And that would be enough to meet their needs for the day. But God only gave them enough for one day. And if they tried to hold it over, if they tried to hoard it up, if they tried to can it, pickle it, freeze dry it, dehydrated, if they tried to keep it, the Word of God says that it would begin to stink. God made them live from day to day. God met their needs one day, and at the end of the day, they didn't have anything. They'd eat all the manna and get rid of it. God would send more. I have more in the floorboard of my pickup than they had at the end of the day. We was coming home yesterday, and Chloe said, "I'd like to stop at Dollar General and get some nerds to eat." I said, "Dig them out of your seat. They're full. Candy, crackers, wrappers, all that kind of stuff. I mean, if times got really bad, I'd just go to all the vehicles and I'd dig through all the seats and we could get a week's worth of food there. We got more than we know what to do with." God made the children of Israel live from day to day. We are so blessed that we let things go to waste. But I can remember a time in my life. I can remember being a young person, being a young married couple, and almost living from day to day. And a little young couple saying, "Can God take care of us? Can God feed us? Can God give us the money for the light bill? Can the Lord supply a car for us? And when it's torn up or we've got a flat tire?" And just look back over my life, and you know, it's sinful for us to come along after years and years and say, "Can God do it again?" Surely we've learned down through the years that the same God that was able to send manna every day to the children of Israel is the same God that is able to meet our needs, and He's done it over and over and over again in our lives. God's given little things. God's given big things. God's come through in my life when Kim and I looked at each other and said, "I don't know what we're going to do." I'm telling you, God came through. See, that's why God allows us sometimes in our lives to just live from day to day to day. He is teaching us. He is showing us that it's not the government that takes care of us, and it's not even sometimes one another that takes care of us, but He is able to take care of everything we need and supply for us over and over and over again. He took care of the children of Israel for 40 years. The Bible said He clave the rock and made rivers in the desert. The Bible said that He sent them meat to the full. Man, did He angels food. And still they doubted from time to time. Look at verse 32. "For all this they sinned still and believed not His wondrous works." It grieves the Lord when we forget about His faithfulness. As we come to homecoming, we ought to be reminded of all the times God has supplied for us. Somebody said, "I don't know if God will forgive me or not." Look at verse 37. Look what the Bible says. "For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away, and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness, and grieve Him in the desert." I really like that passage of Scripture. I'm thankful that we serve a God today that remembers that we're just made out of dust. That's all we are. And God's compassionate. And God's merciful. And God supplies our needs. So we look back and we think about homecoming. And we think about that there was supplied times from the Lord. And number three this morning, I look at Psalms chapter number 78. And they are reminded of safer times. Look at verse 42. What the Bible says. "They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy." They'd forgot about how God had delivered them from the enemy. And it's talking specifically about the Egyptians and how He delivered them from Pharaoh. Look on down at verse 53. The Bible said, "And He led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. That's talking about Pharaoh in the Red Sea. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. And that's talking about when God brought them into the promised land, and God delivered them from Jericho and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all the different ones. No matter who they came up against, God delivered them. God delivered them safely, the Bible says there in verse number 53. Over and over again against their enemies, God gave them victory. God gave them safety. The word safety is found in the Bible 19 times. It has one source. Safety comes from the Lord. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how large your army is. It does not matter how large your Air Force or Navy is. Safety comes from God. And when a nation turns away from the Lord, they lose that safety net. Little by little by little. The Bible said in Proverbs 21 and 31, it said the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, as our nation goes farther and farther away from God, I've noticed that over the years, we're just not as safe as we used to be. Our communities used to be a safe place. Our schools were a safe place. Our churches were a safe place. Why? When I was growing up, my brother and all of our friends, we had free reign of the whole neighborhood, all the mountains, all the hills around the community. And sometimes we'd just get gone and wouldn't come home till supper time. Mom wasn't worried about us getting picked up by some pervert. She never worried when we was down on Circle Drive riding our bicycles that some nut job had come along and try to molest us or kidnap us. Safer times. She never put us on the school bus and sent us off to school and wrung her hands and thought, you know, I hope nobody goes in and massacres a bunch of them today. But look where we are. Look where we are. You better keep an eye on your children. Nobody ever went to church and ever entered their mind that somebody might come in and shoot a bunch of people. But churches are concerned about it today because it's happened so many times. There's nowhere you can go that you're safe anymore. Once upon a time, you never worried. And it was a blessing. Look now how people worry about stuff like that. And it could happen. See, as the children of Israel went away from the Lord, they found themselves more and more in trouble. In trouble. And that's what we're reaping today. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous there, the picture of the word perilous, is like a set of steps that is not safe anymore, and some of the boards have fallen out, and the rail might fall away at any moment, and it's perilous to try to go up it. We're living in perilous times. Weak times. Dangerous times. Times when we can find ourselves in trouble at any moment. We're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times because we as a nation, we as a people are just like the children of Israel. And we have gone away from the Lord. We find ourselves in trouble. Why do we find ourselves in trouble? Because look over in verse number 56 what the Bible says. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. When they turned to idolatry, when they filled their hearts and their lives with other things other than God, it made God angry and God turned them over to their enemies. That's exactly where we are today. What about terrorism? What about all of this stuff we worry and we think about and our leaders are concerned about? It didn't used to be that way. We've left God. And I'm not going to say that God has left us, but the natural result of turning our back on God is we're just not as safe as we one time were. And sometimes God allows the enemy to come in to get us to see where we are. But boy, what a terrible price to pay. Safety is of the Lord. I remember, I think about safer times. I think about simpler times. I think about supplied times that God has given unto us. All these things I remember when I think about homecoming, when I think about Psalms chapter number 78, number 4 this morning, they were sanctified times. Sanctified means to be set apart unto God. If you go back in verse number 1, look what the Bible says over there. They were sanctified times. He said, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your hearts to the words of my mouth." Listen to the word of God. Look at verse number 5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." What did they have? They had the law of God. They had the testimony of God in their midst, and they were to learn it and know it and follow it, and they were to pass it on to their children so their children would know. There were sanctified times. They had the Word of God. They had the worship of God. I remember, and I'm not ancient by any means, but I believe with all of my heart there was a time in our country where the Word of God was held in much higher esteem than it is today. I remember a day in our country where right was right and wrong was wrong. And it was foolish to argue otherwise. Most everybody knew what was right, what was wrong. There were certain things that were all right and certain things that were not all right. Why? Because the Word of God said so. People were more in tune with this is what the Bible says. This is the law of God. Once upon a time in America, the Ten Commandments were looked upon as being good. Now they're looked upon almost as being bad, kept out of the public eye. You get in a lawsuit, somebody might be offended. They were different times, but I'm telling you, they were better times. We had the Word of God to lead us and to guide us and to show us what was right and what was wrong, and people paid attention to that. We had the worship of God. You know, in Boone, once upon a time, all the stores was closed on Sunday. What did people do on Sunday? Went to church, went to grandma's house, ate, went back to church. Simpler times, sanctified times. Our lives revolved more around the Word of God, more around the worship of God. It wasn't just one of the things, but it was the thing. Sunday was set aside to rest and worship God. Sanctified times I'm talking about. Worshiping the Lord. The psalmist said, give ear to my law. Listen to the Word of God. Trying to help us. Once upon a time, there was no such thing as gray areas and evil was evil. And I tell you, I look around today and we're in a mess. We're in a mess. That people don't know what bathroom they're supposed to go in. Where were they going before? Had to be going somewhere before, but now the whole nation is in an uproar over things. And what silliness is going on? We're just in trouble because we forgot God. And when you forget God, you're not going to know what's right, and you're not going to know what's wrong. You're not going to know what marriage is. You're not going to know what's good. You're not going to know anything. Because every man's just going to do what's right in his own eyes. But I'll tell you, there's a time when our nation was better. Sanctified times. Good times. Last of all, I'll show you one more thing and I'll be done. Number five this morning, they were saving times. They were reminded of the times that God had saved them as a people and as a nation. Look at verse number 13. The Bible said, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And it's talking about when He led them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Verse number 51 is still talking about the same thing. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made His own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely. They were saving times. And when it's talking here about being delivered out of Egypt and being delivered through the Red Sea, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. That is a picture. You talk about old time salvation. That's a picture. They were not saved except they put their faith in the blood. Talking about the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb had to be killed. Its blood had to be taken and applied to the door. And they had to go into the house. And God said, When I pass through the land, I will pass over you. When He saw the blood of that lamb, the wrath of God would not fall on the firstborn in that house. And they were saved by faith in the blood of the lamb. And God is trying to remind the children of them, how the children of Israel, how He had saved them. Homecoming ought to be a time when we remember how God has saved us by the blood of the lamb. I'm talking about being born again. I'm still talking about being saved by the blood of the Lamb, but I'm not talking about a cute little lamb. I'm talking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that died upon the cross and shed His blood so that you and I could be saved. When I think about homecoming, I think about saving times. I think about growing up in church. I think about preachers preaching the gospel. I think about God moving in our midst. I think about invitations being given and people coming to be saved. I've seen that. I remember that. Well, I tell you what, we've got a whole lot of things in our day and time. We say, we got good churches, we have good preaching, we have good programs, we have good missionary outreach, we have all these things. But I'll tell you what we don't have. We don't have people getting saved like we did once upon a time. And it ought to bother us and it ought to concern us that it seems like the old-fashioned altar and Holy Ghost conviction and God moving in our midst, we don't expect it, we don't look for it, we don't listen for it, and we don't see it like we did once upon a time. Homecoming ought to remind us of a time when God worked in our midst and God saved people in the church. What I'm seeing now is God saving people out of the church. They get saved in their homes. They get saved on a campus. They'll get saved on visitation. They'll get saved, but rarely in church anymore. You just see people come and get saved because they heard the gospel and the Holy Ghost of God pricked their heart and showed them that they need to be saved. That's how I got saved. You don't have to be in church to get saved, but being in church is a good place to get saved. We don't have homecoming at Brushy Fork. That's where I grew up, and I go back just every once in a while for funerals mainly or something like that. But I'll tell you, I never go back to the church I got saved in that I don't look up there. Amen. No matter where I'm sitting, I'll be sitting there, and I'll say, you know, right up there is where I got saved. I could take you almost to the place. I was sitting over there, and I asked my dad or my mom one, and just at the end of the service, and I was the only one. But God spoke to my heart on that morning. And I remember looking up and saying, "Can I go up there?" They said, "You can go up there." And I went up all by myself, little old shy country boy. Man, I wouldn't get up in front of everybody for nothing. But God spoke to my heart. And I remember going up to the old-fashioned altar and knelt right around the spot up here. I could take you to it, even though it's all been remodeled and redone. And that's where God saved me and birthed me into the family of God. And He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I saw a lot of people go forward and get saved when I was little. And when I was a younger preacher, we'd see people saved just ever so often and come forward and go to revival and somebody get saved. Church, we need to remember that. Because we've got some children in this church that needs to be saved. We've got some neighbors and we've got some young people and we've got some that we love. And boy, I'll tell you what they need more than anything in the world. They need to be saved by the grace of God. And there's not a new way to be saved, but you got to get saved the old way. God's got to convict your heart. We're missing. Think about homecoming. Think about revival growing up. Think about God moving. We're missing. We're missing some things in this day and time. We desperately need a homecoming like that. And we remember what God has done for us. Because if we don't have that, what's going to happen to our children? And how are they going to grow up? And what are they going to face out here if the church loses all its power? Homecoming ought to remind us of what God's done in the past. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, and I appreciate your good attention. And